Yes, under the review today is the book by Rehana Shahbulbulya known as Miracles. And let's look at the author first before going into the book itself. So Rehana Shahbulbulya is a BA graduate and she has majored in English, Arabic and Islamic studies. She is also the author of the bestsellers Falling in Love with Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Happily Ever After, A Journey to Jannah. Both these books have been reviewed previously on Radio Islam International. She currently serves as a writer and journalist for a print magazine, The Muslim Magazine, and she has been with them for the past 11 years now. She's also a teacher and an international motivational speaker and workshop facilitator for ladies. Recently, she was on a lecture tour to the UK covering 13 cities and 11 programs. She's also an editor for a local community newspaper for the past 3.5 years now. So the book under review is Miracles, and the author is Rehana Shahbulbulya. It's a beautiful layout of the cover page, and there's a nice bright sky with a nice colorful rainbow and snowflake mountains, and a beautiful picture of a house which has the lights on and with a couple of trees in the background that are covered in snow. So this is a book, it's actually a compilation of stories that began as a series entitled Miracles of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in the year 2005. And this was done for a magazine, The Muslim Women, which we just spoke about a few seconds ago. It basically comprises of 33 contemporary stories of personal interviews that the author had conducted. These are real life stories and reveal the manifestation of the qualities and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a brilliant, captivating and touching book. And there's a foreword written by Mufti Yusuf Musaji of Radio Islam International. It's a wonderful book to read, especially for people who are going through trying and challenging times in their lives. Whenever you are in a difficulty, one way of coping is to read about people who are in a similar situation or people who've been through worse than what you are going through. It gives you comfort, it gives you solace, it gives you that strength, it gives you that moral support that you require. So this book serves as a very good companion, and it serves that purpose which I've just spoken about. So what the author has done is that she has taken the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and under that quality, she brings in the relevant interview that she had conducted. So for example, there's a quality here, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. And under this quality, she has quoted a very heartwarming and a very touching story. And this story brings out the love of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this person's life. And when I read the story, it left me in tears. I had to close the book for a moment, and I had to just contemplate on the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the objective of this book, to spur within you the spirit of Iman, to rekindle that love once again for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to believe that there's somebody above us who is in control of our affairs, who is watching, who is seeing, who is observing, and who is doing whatever he needs to do to see our life succeed. And really, when you read this book, your Iman strengthens. It's because it's not abstract stories, it's not far-fetched stories, it's not thumbsucks. It is something that people have been through. It is something that people have experienced in their lives. Let me share with you one story that I read from this book. There are many other stories, but I'd just like to share with you one particular story under the quality Ar-Rahman. So this is a story of a lady who is a mother of 3 children and who has profound love for Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is a miracle baby. This is the last born baby who is now 24 years of age. But she went through a very difficult phase and a very difficult stage in her life. So listen to this story. The mother says that she was in her third trimester and her health took the toll, and she was going through serious health complications. Her health was deteriorating by the day. It went to such an extent that she almost lost her life and the baby's life. And I want you to just pay attention to the story, and I want you to listen to this with the eyes of Iman and with the hearts of Iman, with the ears of Iman. And I want you to listen to the story, and perhaps it will lighten your mood and re-strengthen that resolve for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this mother is in her third trimester, and she is on the verge of losing her life and also her baby's life. She is diagnosed with high sugar and proteins, which basically leaves her in a very vulnerable stage. And she's also told that she is now diabetic. She's diabetic, and on top of it, she's insulin dependent for her life. And so she has to deal with this on one side, and on the other side, she has to cope with the pregnancy and all that. So I want you to just think that you might be thinking in your life that I'm going through so much of difficulties, I'm going through so much of troubles in my life. When will that rainbow come in my life? When will I see the beautiful colors? So this mother is diagnosed with this sickness, and she's a working mom. She is a working mom. She works during the week, and during the weekends, she sells samosas. And she herself writes here that she would make up to 60 to 70 dozen samosa in the weekends, just to make ends meet. So both husband and wife are working to make ends meet, and financially they are not well off. So I just want you to think for a moment that here's a lady who's going through so much, and on top of it, she's diagnosed with this, and she's about to give going to her last final stage of her pregnancy. You would think that where's the mercy from Allah? You would think that where's that compassion that we talk about from Allah? Well, I want you to listen to the story and see where it goes and how the miracle of Allah is manifested in this baby and in this mother. So, she says, I'm rushed to the hospital, and she says that at 6 months and 1 week, my placenta broke, and I started bleeding heavily. My husband and marhum brother, may Allah fill his qabr with noor, rushed me to the hospital. At the hospital, they managed to stop the bleeding. However, I remember overhearing the doctor's conversation with my husband. So here the husband and the doctor are talking, and she's overhearing them, that my blood has ran cold. Since there was not much of placenta left, the doctor advised inducing labor, and he warned my husband that it would probably mean saving one of two lives. It's either my life or my baby's life. Wow. This is a complex situation, subhanAllah. I want to know, what would you do? Which life would you have opted for in a situation like this? So the doctor is telling the husband, it's either your wife's life or your baby's life. You have to make a choice. So the doctor wanted the husband to make an agreement and to save the wife and not the baby. Not being able to stand the fact that a mere man was deciding my baby's lifespan and mine, I called my husband and doctor. I told him that there was no choice. If he didn't fight for my baby's life, then he shouldn't bother to fight for my life also. SubhanAllah, look at the spirit of this woman. She's saying, no, I'm not giving up. I want my baby and I want my life also. There's no choice of one of us. We both need to survive here. I absolutely refused to have him aborted. And I did not give in. I did not choose for abortion. I was then given an injection to mature my baby's lungs. And for the 3 days that I remained in hospital, I was kept on a drip. But that was the extent of their medical assistance. Already towards the end of the first day, I began experiencing severe back pain. During the course of my pregnancy, I had already experienced problems with my kidneys. By the third night, the doctors and the nurses still had done absolutely nothing for me. My husband then force discharged me and took me to a family homeopath. At this point, my kidneys were failing and I had almost no placenta left. I was seriously ill, and since I did not want to abort, both my life and my baby's life were in danger. A midwife was called, and somehow through the mercy of Allah, I convinced her that I had to deliver my baby at home whenever Allah had willed. Alhamdulillah, my baby's heartbeat was still strong. However, I had to take serious bed rest and had to remain permanently in bed with my feet elevated. After 4 days, I couldn't handle this inertia and decided to set out. I decided to sit outside for a little while. That night, my water broke. I was only 6 months and 2 weeks into my pregnancy. The following morning at 8:30 a.m., I gave birth to my very, very tiny baby girl. Alhamdulillah, the midwife and I read Surah Yasin throughout my labor, and she gave me much encouragement. However, she refused to tell me my baby's birth weight, but a week later I found out that it had been 1.4 kilograms. Wow! 1.4 kilograms, giving birth at 6 months and 2 weeks. SubhanAllah, listen to the story as it progresses further. Amatullah's little head was literally the size of a tennis ball. Sure. My baby looked like a broken little bird. From that moment onwards, I didn't think. I just went onto automatic pilot and I did whatever needed to be done. I believe that Allah shows us instinctively what to do when we need to do it. With the help of Allah and the aid of my husband, brother and mother, we coped. Firstly, we had to incubate Amatullah. Bear in mind that we had no incubator, so she would be dressed in so many sets of clothes, including the first layer of cotton wool, followed by 3 receiving blankets, shawl, and then into my bed under more blankets, of course. Amatullah also had jaundice. Ya Allah. Baby born so tiny and on top of it has jaundice, which we treated with saffron water and daily bouts of sunlight. The homeopath in our family had given drops to help mature her lungs and kidneys. After the first week, I realized that she hadn't been drinking milk, since she didn't have the energy and the ability to suck. Ya Allah, listen to this. Nor did I have much milk. After trying every different brand of milk, I finally settled on one, but that too had to be diluted, and then, Allahu Akbar, it had to be fed. I had to feed her with a medicinal stopper for the first few months. I would drop that 1 milliliter or 2 milliliter of milk in her mouth and would then blow on her forehead in order for her to swallow. Ya Allah. I used to feed her in this manner every 2 hours, yet it would take me 1.5 hours to feed her that few milliliters. So after half an hour, it would already be her next feed. I don't remember sleeping or eating during those first 4 months. I hardly came out of my room except to go to the pediatrician. I was advised by external family members. Listen to this, just listen to this, and look at the iman of this lady. I was advised by external family members not to get too attached to Amatullah. People just couldn't believe that she would survive. But Allah is truly great. She did. And what did I do to sustain me throughout it? Only one thing, and listen to this, this is the moral of the story. Only one thing was continuously on my lips, durood. Durood and durood. And that too, I believe, was inspired by Allah. Every moment, all I could do, keep me focused on too, was to read durood upon durood. At that point in my life, I did not have any dini knowledge that I have now. I didn't even know the reward for a single durood. But I believe just Allah had guided my mind and hands in doing what needed to be done alone for my baby's survival. He too guided my tongue to what would ensure both our survivals, myself and my baby. My baby only got her first BCG injection at the age of 4 months. She was too tiny prior to this, and so in the beginning stages of her life, her physical development was slow, but the doctor assured me that the premature babies are always trying to catch up, and at some point, not only do they catch up, but they also surpass others. Ya Allah, it's so true. I believe that Allah's mercy and compassion does not descend upon us due to our deeds. I don't think that our deeds are ever good enough, yet Allah's mercy and compassion descends out of His generosity. In my case, I sincerely believe that Allah's mercy and help descended because of His love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A single durood get accepted even quicker than any dua could make, and has such great virtues, because one durood frees you from 10 sins, grants you 10 mercies, rewards and elevates you 10 stages in Jannah. Allahu Akbar, there is no greater hope, no greater mercy, no greater way than trusting in Allah and following His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Knowing Amatullah and her life's journey, one is amazed at how Allah in His infinite mercy and compassion took this premature baby, born at 6 months and 2 weeks, from strength to strength. Today she is a young married woman, fully garbed in hijab and niqab, having matriculated with 4 distinctions and having completed her teaching degree. Her mother's eyes fill with tears as she reflects over Allah's mercy and compassion. And for her dear mother, what brings her the most joy is not only that Allah has blessed her daughter with life, but life that is filled with the love of Allah and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The author ends off, so many times in life we seek the compassion and kindness of others to lift our spirits, to give us hope, to help us through the trials and motivate us to carry on. Yet there is no being more kind, more merciful, more compassionate than Allah, as the story vividly conveys. So this is the kind of nature of the book, and this is the kind of stories that are conveyed in this book. It's a really captivating and a touching book. I doubt I can read this book in one sitting. Not because it's difficult to read, but because it's so much to absorb and so much to reflect on and so much to think about. And really, this book is a great companion for you if you are going through difficulties in your life. You require somebody to comfort you. And what more greater comfort can you get than from the comfort of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the author has taken many qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and under those qualities, the appropriate and relevant stories have been placed for the reader to read and to think and reflect about the greatness of Allah. I mean, here you have a mother who's about to lose her life, who's on the verge of losing her life and a daughter's life, giving birth at 6 months and 2 weeks. The mother says that the baby's head was small, like a tennis ball, like a broken bird. Yes, salam, the very same girl today grows up to be a married woman and who is living life, alhamdulillah, with the pleasure and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to see beyond the challenges that we are facing in our lives. This is the test of our iman. And this lady was so firm in her conviction, was so firm in her iman, that despite all the odds against her, she was able to pull herself through, not because of her strength, but because of her belief in Allah. And this is the nature of human being, that when he has that conviction in Allah, then Allah treats him according to that expectation also. So yes, we all have problems in our lives. Yes, we all have challenges in our lives. But we need to look beyond those problems. And there's a message for us in those problems. And that message is to connect ourselves to Allah. And this is what the book conveys. The book is retailing at 120 rands at all the Islamic stores, and you can get a copy of this inshallah. So it is Miracles, written by Rehana Shah Bulbulia. This is a compilation of stories that began as a series entitled Miracles of Allah in the year 2005, and it comprises of 33 contemporary stories of personal interviews that the author conducted. It's a wonderful book, and it makes us connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's now 9:30, you're listening to Radio Islam International. We go for a quick break. When we return, inshallah, we'll continue. Yes, there's somebody asking, where can I get a book from? The book can be purchased from all the Muslim outlets and all the Islamic stores that are selling books. It's widely available. It's 120 rands, and it's available in South Africa, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, maybe I'm just make sure if there is a e-version or not. But a very good reader. You know, one thing you pick up in this is that you get two types of people when they are faced with challenges. Either they give up in life, or they are those who come out even more stronger. And the choice is yours, really. You get those people who become suicidal and want to give up in life, and they want to question everything about Allah. And why me? Why me? Why are there so much troubles in my life? And you even get people who go to the extent of becoming an atheist. They leave Islam altogether. They lose faith in Allah also altogether. So, the challenges in our life are here to make us, not to break us. You know, I'd really be interested in visiting this family that survived this entire ordeal. And it wasn't a 1 day or 2 day thing. Ya Allah, it was a journey on its own. I'm just thinking how much of sabr this lady must have had. How much of patience. How much of yaqeen. How much she had to sacrifice. Like I said, she was a working mum. Now all that putting all those things aside and now focusing your life on somebody else. Ya Allah. It also tells you the resilience of this woman and her heartfelt contribution to her daughter's life. I'm sure that daughter will remain indebted to her mother for the rest of her life. And that is why Allah has given such a high pedestal to the mother. It's because of situations like these that each lady goes through, and through the discomfort that they have to go through just to see that there are people in the world today and to see that there are people contributing to the society. Ya Allah. So, brothers and sisters in Islam, you don't give up hope in life. You don't give up hope in life. You must be strong, man. And really, you must wake up and smell the ambience and feel the nur of Allah in your life. We're going to try one more time to get hold of Mufti Zubair. If not, then we'll continue, inshallah, the program. Okay, I tell you what, I got one book to give away this morning. This book, Miracles. And I'm going to open my lines for you to interact with me. And inshallah, we tried to give one book away this morning. I just received a message from the author to say that we do have one book for giveaway this morning. So, I want to talk to you this morning. I want you to share some encouragement from your side to those people who are also going through difficult times in their lives. And nothing can be more encouraging, I believe this, nothing can be more encouraging than real life experiences. One is in the book that you read about and you marvel at, and one is that you really you've been through yourself. And I'd like you to share with me those incidents. You don't have to go into the detail of it, but you can just highlight the power of Allah, the qudrat of Allah, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped you and picked you up through your troubles and liberated you from those shackles. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today has shown you a better path, a stronger you, a more resolute person. I want you to share that with me. 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. And obviously, we'll choose one person at the end of the program to give this book away, inshallah. But every person should try and contribute to this program, not because of the book, but because of making a difference to somebody's life. You know, it's sometimes just the right thing we say at the right time for those people who are so down, that lifts their spirit and lifts their mood. I get a pleasure. I get serious pleasure when I see people who are down, who are all down, and then you lift their spirit and you make them feel happy. When you see a smile on that face, Ya Allah, that is really priceless. So 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Unfortunately, not messages, because messages are going to take too long to read, and there'll be too many. So we'll limit it only to the callers, 011-854-1548, inshallah. Do we have any callers, Muhammad Salim? I've got two callers, okay, four, already three callers. Let's go to the lines first. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jeez.
Malana Habib, I'd like to speak about my story in life. My son is now 20 years old. Mm. His name is Mohammed. He suffers from cerebral palsy. It's one of the most extreme cases where he has spastic quadriplegia. Mm. And I'd like to say that my 20 years of Mohammed, it's actually a gift from Allah. I see it as a gift. Mm. He cannot do anything, Malana Habib. But his whole life, he loves Radio Islam. He loves masjid. He loves Quran. And Mohammed has taught me everything in life, Malana Habib. Mm. I don't look at it as anything negative in my life.
What is the one lesson you can share with our listeners that you have picked up from the life of Mohammed?
Having a child with disability, it must not put you down. It must not make you negative. I mean, Mohammed cannot do anything for himself. I'm 24/7. I'm his mom, but I've got to be his caregiver. I'm everything for him. And Alhamdulillah, Allah Pak has blessed me. And inshallah, Allah Pak will give me strength
and sister,
for the rest of the years of Muhammad.
Did you ever feel like now my life is bogged down and my hands are tied and now I have to be around?
Oh, never, Mawlana Habib, never.
How did you come out of this? How did you support yourself? How did you
Everybody's du'as. My mom's du'as. My late father's du'as. My husband stands with me. My son was 17. Mohammed is 20. He's my first child. Mm. I was really young when I gave birth to Mohammed. And then I have another son. And I've blessed him with another really, very, mashallah, loving son. He's actually, Allah Ta'ala has made him, blessed him with Hafizul Quran last year.
Mm. So in one sentence, sister,
nights of Mohammed, we have had Allah Pak made my other son a Hafizul Quran.
Alhamdulillah.
So Alhamdulillah.
Sister, what in one sentence, what would you say to the listeners who are going through difficulties in their lives?
They never give up. Place your whole trust, your tawakkul with Allah. Because Allah is here with us. We just have to, we keep making dua that Allah, you make it easy for our children and for us, for every child with disability, not only for my Muhammad.
Jazakallah.
For each and every child with disability and for each parent that's going through this. That Allah, you are with us and you will always be with us, inshallah.
Jazakallah, sita khairan.
Jazakallah, Mulana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Let's go to the another caller here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jesus.
I want to share a story with you. It's not a heart-rending story. It's a very simple story.
Mm.
But just to highlight you the presence of Allah SWT in our lives. I went shopping this weekend and I bought something for my daughter. It was in a packet in my trolley. And I had swapped trolleys and I went downstairs for about 20 minutes and I realized I'd lost my packet.
Mm.
So I came upstairs and I went to the same place where I left my trolley and it wasn't there anymore. But I really liked that garment and I was very upset about it. So I pushed my trolley through the entire mall to right at the end, praying the whole time, please Allah Pak, let me find it in Narilaiwe in Nairojun. At the very end of the mall, I found my trolley standing there alone with the packet inside.
Wow.
So for me, it was an absolute miracle because it's very hard to find trolleys unless you go into a game or a pick and pay. And the fact that it was just standing there, for me, it's the simple things in life which just renewed my faith in Allah Ta'ala to say, look, I was crying, I wanted this thing so much and I found it. And then after that, straight after that, which I think is also important when we do or find miracles in our lives, also to make shukr.
Mm.
So immediately when I finished, I had a counter and I said, I'm going to read 1,000 Alhamdulillah. And I did that. So also, you know, we got to give back. We ask Allah Ta'ala for a lot, whether it's in good times or bad times, but we must always remember to be grateful as well. So the next time when we're asking, Allah SWT is going to say, this is a grateful servant, and because of that, I'm going to reward them.
So you see, it was a dress?
Yeah, it was just a garment that I bought.
Okay.
It was for my daughter, which I found, and I liked it a lot. So I wanted to find it again. But to me, you know, it wasn't. I know other people have heart-rending stories about their children, about illness, about grieving. But like I say, for me, it's the simple things that matter. To say, my Allah, you helped me. At that moment, that was my need. You know, and
so what was your mental state at that moment? What were you going through?
I was very upset and I was thinking to myself, how could I have been so silly to do such a silly thing? But I really, really want it, Allah, please. I want to find it. Please let me find it. And I was even looking in trolleys to other people's trolleys to think perhaps they had it and I approached them and asked him for it. You know, and it's a bit embarrassing to do that. And that's not only, it's so simple that it was there in a trolley with nobody having it. So even in that, there was a mercy.
Jazakallah khairan, sister.
Okay, shukran jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, the lines are open. 011-854-1548. Let's go to the next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Well, Anna, I'd like to relate a story. It's a personal story. It happened to me a few months ago. My husband was away on business overseas. And at the time that he was away, I went to my sister. She stays a few hours away from me. I was traveling with my helper and my two kids. And we were on the way back home, and I realized that we were running low on petrol. So we said that we're nearing home. We're only about 20 minutes away, so we'll stop at the nearest garage. I don't travel often on this route by myself, so I wasn't familiar where the garages are. It just so happened that we had seen a board. We had missed the garage, and we were almost out of fuel. And at that point, it was already sunset. It was going on, actually on to Maghrib time. And we realized that the nearest garage was 40 kilometers away, and my gauge had shown that we had only 10 kilometers more to go.
Wow.
So at that point, I every Monday I go for a program. It's called Iman Mudakira, where Maulana teaches us how to refresh and to renew our Iman and how to develop complete reliance on Allah. At that point, I realized that I thought of what Maulana said, and I thought that there's no human being that can help me at this particular time. So I started praying a dua from the verses from Surah Talaq. It's a dua for unseen help. I was very calm, and I said to myself, now's my opportunity. Because Maulana always teaches us that whenever you are in distress, and whenever you are in your most joyous moment, where your heart turns to at that particular juncture, that is what Allah looks at. And where, if your heart turns to Allah, you become special in, to Allah. So I started praying my dua, and I just drove a little bit further. I said, and I stopped, and there was a vehicle. It was an emergency rescue vehicle that was parked. It was marked. It was parked under the bridge.
Wow.
So I thought, okay, let me stop and see maybe if they can assist me. And when I went to them, they were selling petrol.
Wow.
They were selling petrol. And at first I was afraid because it's South Africa and you know who you can trust. But because the vehicle was marked, and then when I saw that these men had on uniform, there were two of them, and they were very professional. They even took out a file that was that asked all of my information and what the problem was, and I could see that, you know, these people are you know, authentic. So I filled out the form, and they filled my tank for me at the garage. So it was absolute. It was just purely Allah's help, and I thought to myself, I knew Allah is not going to let me down, and this is from Allah only. Now whenever I go that way, I look to see if there's any vehicle, then there's no vehicle parked under that spot ever. It was just purely Allah's help. Shukran, alhamdulillah.
SubhanAllah. And what did it teach you?
It taught me that no matter what your situation is, we must practice it, something called pause. You need to pause, you need to collect yourself and think to yourself, no matter what situation you are in, you must turn to Allah first. Even though I could have picked up the phone and phoned somebody in the nearby, in an area, or I made a choice at that point because I remembered that every week I'm going for this program, and now I'm going to do what I am taught, and I am going to see what Allah is going to do for me today. I'm going to see what Allah is going to do for me today. And alhamdulillah, Allah did not let me down. I think the whole point is that your tawakkul, everyone talks about tawakkul, but
we
don't know how to practice tawakkul. We don't know how to do tawakkul.
I think to comment on that situation of yours, I mean, you would have thought after making dua to Allah, some petrol garage should come out of nowhere, you know, in the middle of the road, and you could go. I mean, that was your mind, and that's what you were telling yourself. But Allah made some other arrangements which never crossed your mind, or which you never thought about. So it's really inspirational indeed. Jazakallah khair, sister.
I think our weakness is that we rely on our logic more than we rely on Allah's help.
Hmm.
Allah's help is unseen and it's magical and we can't fathom it. So we should stop relying on our own mind and believe more in what Allah has said to us that he has promised us in the Quran.
Jazakallah khair, sister. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah. Okay, we've got more callers. Let's go to the next line. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mulana.
Jima, brother.
All right. I want to give you an incident of something that happened many years ago, 1962 precisely. Not knowing anything much about deen except knowing, well, hey, it's time for namaz and everybody's going to masjid. Then we went to masjid. If and when we felt like going, if the company was right, otherwise we were oblivion even of the importance of salah. I used to run away from home, which was a very difficult period for me in my life, but there were two very beautiful incidents that happened, and this I want to share with the listeners. Allah guarantees two things: your protection and your provision. I landed somewhere in Zululand. It was late, it's becoming Maghrib time, and I don't know what to do. So I saw a hut and I said, all right, I'll go down there and get shelter for the night till the morning. And the man was so impressed, elderly black man, that he called his wife in Zulu that we got a visitor. Now, with the black custom, especially the Zulu, if they offer you food and you refuse it, it's an insult. And I saw the beauty of being a Muslim. They identified me as a Muslim. You got your topi on as a young man. I got what we call putu. It's almost like your pop-up here, but it's a little harder. Putu with tomato chutney on it, this tomato, you know. I said, Alhamdulillah, my Rabb has saved me from anything that's not possible to eat and shouldn't be forbidden to eat. That was one incident. Another incident, I finished off in a Hindu home, and the woman said, no food for you tonight. You only have tea and bread. I said, Ma, tomorrow I'll be gone. She says, no, tomorrow you come. I'm in a state of mind, I can't understand what this means, you know. No food for you, but you must come tomorrow. The next day when I land up there, she shows me a receipt with proof that she had bought a set of pots, brand new pots for me. And she said, from today, I will give you money so that you can buy the meat and chicken, whatever you want to eat, and we'll cook it in this pot. Being a non-believer, I was very impressed with them that they cared for my deen while I didn't even understand my own deen. This is the two incidents I want to share with people. Absolute yakin. The Rabb has guaranteed you these two things, but don't interfere with the guarantee, then these two things would even go away from your life. I think this is what we don't understand about our guarantee, that we have to fulfill every bit of our life. Otherwise, we can forget about the guarantees. We see it around us. So we make lots of dua that Allah give people inspiration, that there is protection as far as Allah is concerned.
Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yes, interesting stories coming to the fore. The objective is to remind ourselves of a greater being, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's go to the next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Manana,
I just want to say, you know, when I was very young, it's about 18, 20 years ago, when I gave birth to my first little a daughter, and it was just, you know, at that time, and you were just giving birth to your first child, you always want your mother on your side. And Allah Ta'ala, we plan, and Allah Ta'ala is the best of planners. And I gave birth before my due date, and I before coming to my mom's home for confinement. And I suppose from that time, it was actually a lesson for Allah to let me know that you're going to have to cope without your mother. Because it was very soon after that that my baby was only about 11 months old, and my husband was going out in the path of Allah. I was very young that time, just about 20. And my mother, all of a sudden, just went under some hysterectomy, and she passed away. And it was as if my entire world had just come to a standstill. You know, like my whole world had changed. My husband was overseas out in the path of Allah. Had nobody. I felt like the closest to me was nobody to, you know, to support me. And only later did I realize when I had my second child that from the first time already, Allah Ta'ala had already made me strong enough to know that the next time you won't have your mother. And so many lessons I learned. I remember somebody telling me at that time, like, you know, that that if you turn to Allah Ta'ala, when you know, that dua, Allahumma jinni fi musibati, if you read that dua, without a doubt, Allah Ta'ala will put in something. He will reward you for that difficulty that you go upon, and He will put another means for you.
Hmm.
And I've seen it that a couple of years later, we moved from the place we were, and we moved to another place. And ironically, Allah Ta'ala had planned like this, if our neighbor was some family of my in-laws, my mother-in-law's very close family.
Hmm.
And they had two children, and both the children till today, they've got the daughter and the son both are married, and both of them don't have any children.
Hmm.
And they became such a strong part of our lives that when I thought my children will never have a nanny, I mean, till today, I still have that pain of not knowing at such a young age I had lost my mother. But then I realized, you know, say when you have the taqwa in Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will make a way. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلَّهُ مَخْرَجًا. And I have so much of yaqeen that now they've become like a nanny, like grandparents to my children. It's solely so close they are to my children that my younger children actually truly believe that they are their grandparents. And I know that, you know what, that taqwa, just by those experiences and going through it, realize that when you turn to Allah Ta'ala, He will definitely make it easy for you. Now, whenever I speak to anybody and I know they go through a difficulty, and I would tell them, just read this dua and turn to Allah. If Allah loves us more than 70 mothers love a child, how will Allah Ta'ala ever leave us empty?
Hmm.
It's never a possibility for Allah Ta'ala to ever leave us empty. So I've always seen that in any difficulty, if I would read this dua, and I would realize that Allah Ta'ala, you know, we plan, and You are the best of planners. You will always give us something better than what we want from You.
Hmm.
So sometimes You keep away something which maybe we love, but then You will give us something that is what You call more better for us in the forerun.
Jazakallah khair, and really motivational indeed.
Assalamu
alaikum. Yes, 5 callers. The book is Miracle. The book is Miracles, and I'll tell you, it will be a miracle if the author gives out 5 books, because it's so difficult to choose one winner here. But I need to choose a winner. I need to give myself about a minute before I can announce who the winner is. Like I said, the miracle would be if we get 5 miracles from the author. I'm just trying my luck there. If I don't, I'll just have to give one away. There's still 2 more callers. Ooh. All right, let's go to the lines. I'm going to give you 30 seconds each to express yourself. I know time is very limited, but let's see how much we can get through. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Let's try the next line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Oops, looks like the people are gone. They need to believe in miracles. Program sometimes continues even after it's finished. Let's take a quick breather, Abdul Haq, and then we'll continue after that. Alright, so the winner this morning for the book Miracles by Rehana Shah Bulbulia is Ummu Muhammad, the mother of Muhammad, who is 20 years of age at the moment and who is a special child. So congratulations to you, mummy, and please get in touch with me, not the engineer. 07222, that's 07222 18384, that's 07222 18384, and we'll arrange for that book to get to you, inshallah. I'm going into a meeting, so I might not respond to your call, but you can drop a message, inshallah. Ummu Muhammad, congratulations to you. You are the winner this morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.